I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A new theatre company in town will have its debut production shortly. The Haberdashery Theatre Company will be presenting The Motherfucker with a Hat, the Stephen Adley Gurgis play, which was a critical hit when it premiered on Broadway in 2011. The playwright, incidentally, has gone on to receive the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Joining me now is one of the founding members of the Haberdashery Theatre and a star of this production, John Cassini. He plays Ralph in this production, the sponsor to Stephen Lobo's Jackie, who is an ex-con and addict. Ralph is trying to get Jackie's life on track. I'll get Mr. Cassini to tell us about this show, this company, and the themes in this work from a writer who is one of the remarkable voices of this era. John Cassini is a Vancouver-based actor with over 200 film and television credits here and abroad. He's one of those actors we've seen on various television series shot in this town and the United States. On stage here, he's performed in God of Carnage and Rabbit Hole for the Arts Club, among other credits. He's a co-artistic director of Railtown Actors Studio and a lifetime member of the Actors Studio in New York. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information. The show runs at the Fire Hall from the 16th to the 30th of January. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, John Cassini. Mr. Cassini, good morning.
Good morning. Wow, that was quite an intro. Thank you.
I'm out of breath, so I'll let you talk for a few minutes.
That was awesome. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So we're talking here the first week of January, and you open in less than 2 weeks. How does this play feel? How does this character feel for you at this point?
Well, it's feeling pretty good, you know. Well, we have a bit of a unorthodox schedule because of the Christmas break, so we were able to sort of stew in the juices of the play a little bit. We rehearsed for about 2 weeks, and then we broke for Christmas holidays, and we're back up for 2 weeks, and then we are previewing starting January 16, as you know. So it's feeling pretty good. You know, it's a challenging play on a lot of levels, and I feel like the room, the rehearsal hall, has been a very fertile place to explore these guys. So I'm feeling pretty jazzed up about starting the new year this way.
And it's a contemporary play, so its themes resonate even for those of us in this part of the world. The dialogue, from my understanding of it, is very sharp. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, they speak like, you know, New Yorkers in Hell's Kitchen and those areas in New York. And, the word, can you swear on your show?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right. So it is called The Motherfucker with the Hat, after all. So, you know, there's a lot of fucks, but at the same time, you know, I mean, the playwright does describe these characters as being in pain, you know, and all of them are also fighting and searching and trying to be better selves and finding their place in the world. I mean, the themes are pretty grand. You know, it does revolve around addiction and the struggle with addiction. And that is the device, I guess, the playwright has used in a sense of revealing these people's human condition, these characters' human condition. So it's, you know, so for an actor, that's got a lot of great stuff to start to dive into right away. Not to mention that the dialogue is also just extremely poignant and sharp, and you know, it doesn't mince words. That's for sure.
It's also a funny show, right?
Yes, that's the thing about it, you know, there is a lot of humor in this. And I think the challenge for us has been to make sure that we find the balance of humor, but we also aren't laughing at the characters. And we are trying to honor the other side of it. And I think we've all instantly, and with Brian, the director, gravitated to that take on it anyway. But I could see, because these characters are so larger than life to a certain degree, you could get seduced into playing for laughs.
Yeah.
And the laughs are there. You can't help it. It's in the text. So we're hoping, you know, we don't fall into that trap, which I think we're not.
How much of the show and what happens in it are you able to tell us before we've actually seen it? Because, I mean, I've read a little bit about it, If I said what I've read, it'll probably give away vital parts of the show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you don't want to give away certain spoilers, because you know the show is predicated on that. But I think it's about Jackie. This character of Jackie comes out of prison, and you know, he's trying to get his life on the straight and narrow, and with his girlfriend Veronica, and Jackie and Veronica, played by Kira Zagorski and Stephen Lobo, you know, some shit hits the fan. A hat is involved. Uh-huh. There is a hat involved, and he learns some information that is puts his life right off track. So someone who is now trying to be sober, trying to be an ex-con who's clean, trying to get his life together, just got out of prison. A piece of information just sets him off track. He comes to me as his sponsor. I play Ralph D, a sort of celebrated sponsor within the program. Been sober for 15 years. You know, really good at what he does. He comes to me to help him navigate this tumultuous information and how it's making him feel. And you know, the shit hits the fan. You know, stuff gets revealed, and there's his cousin Julio, who's in it as well, who he has a relationship with, and my wife is also played by Lori Triolo. Her name is Victoria, and Julio is played by Francisco Trujillo. And you know, and these characters are all interconnected. You know, Everybody is interconnected to the other. So everyone, and through it all, you know, this playwright, Girgis, was able to reveal a part of us that has to do with not only addiction, but what it is to, what loyalty means, how people live in their different truths. What my truth is might be different than what your truth is, you know, and is one a liar or is one not a liar? You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of really, universal themes, you know.
Yeah. So you mentioned, John, your fellow players, the cast members in this production. A lot of them are involved in sort of the founding of Haberdashery Theater. Is that right?
Yes. Myself, Lori Triolo, Brian Marcus, and Stephen Lobo, and Jen McLean Anderson, and Kira Zagorski. We founded Haberdashery. I mean, it was you know, it kind of came after the fact that we wanted to do this play. We got together. With friends reading the play together. You know, we all have, knock on wood, successful television and film careers, but we've all started in the theater. We train act. Some of us are teachers as well. We've all started theater companies in the past when we were younger. But, you know, as time goes on, many of us have gotten married and kids and so on and so forth. So, you know, theater is not a lucrative living. It's not a living at all, actually, mm-hmm. to a certain degree. So, you know, television and film has lured us, and we love doing television film, but our heart, you know, to a certain degree still lives in the theater. So we've been able to do plays, but they've always been other people's plays. And we thought, well, let's start to create the work that we want to see in this city, to contribute to this landscape of theater that already exists in this city. And let's work with the people we want to work with as well. And so we created this company, Haberdashery Theater Company, and, you know, no pun intended, actually,
yeah.
With the motherfucker with the hat and Haberdashery, just the tip of the hat to our first production. And we hope in the future that we will continue to do more plays. That is our plan. We luckily connected with Donna Spencer at the Fire Hall, who is an advocate and a patron saint of the arts, as far as we're concerned, and she loved the team and she loved the play, so she is helping us produce it. I don't know what the official term is, present it, produce it, co-produce it, but she has stepped up. So we have done some fundraising on our end, and she has stepped up on her end, and so our home for this play is the Fire Hall.
So amongst all of you guys that founded this company and that are part of this production, I'm sure in the course of founding Haberdashery Theater, you had some conversations as to why you were doing this, and so just looking at it from my point of view, not knowing any of you, how important is it for all of you who have had successful careers in television and film to go back to the theater and go back to the theater in this town especially?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. Well, the genesis of the play, I must add as well, is that Stephen Lobo, who plays Jackie, he got the rights to it first and foremost, and then he started reaching out, and I believe he went to Lori Triolo first. So he started reaching out. So it came from an actor who had been on a couple of series. You know, Lobo's been on a couple of series recently, Arctic Air and Continuum, mm-hmm. and he wanted to do some theater, and he read this play. And he just said, I got to do this part. Like, I want to do this part. So it started there. For the rest of us, I think, I mean, we sit around the room sometimes, and we are in the rehearsal hall, you know, and it's an 8-9 hour day in the rehearsal hall. And we do sit around and say to ourselves, man, if we could get paid what we get paid in film to do this, or even just a living that would support our children and all of those things.
Yeah.
I would do this for the rest of it. Because as an actor, there's just a pure form. I mean, film has its own challenges and can be a very brilliant, brilliant technique and a brilliant discipline. But, you know, the thing is, once you've walked away from that take or that scene, it's in the hands of so many other people and how it's going to be portrayed with editing and music, and if they use this take or they use that take, and it gets manipulated in different ways, which is part of the skill of being a film actor, is understanding that and knowing how to navigate that as well. But, you know, and it's very internal and it has all that. But with theater, it's an actor's medium. It's an actor and writer's medium, really. And, you know, when you're up there on stage, it's you. That's it. You're naked. It's up there. You're up there. And you get to tell that story, and you get to feel that immediate silence in the room, mm-hmm. or you get to feel that immediate laughter in the room. You get to, you know, and there's something there. There's a relationship with the audience as an artist that you have in theater that you just don't have in film. Because, first of all, in film, everyone's got to be really quiet, because otherwise the take gets ruined. So whether you're funny or not, or you're making people cry, they can't express it, because then you're screwed and you got to do it over again. In theater, people are allowed to express themselves with you. And that is something that is really immediate and now. And it really is an art form that is, I think, timeless in that way. You know, to put on a show. You put on a show in your living room and you made your parents laugh and you went, hey, maybe this is something I want to do. Or you did a monologue in your first acting class and people cried, or, you know. And you're like, wow, you can actually affect people. You can change the molecules in the room. And I think all of us who love acting love that feeling of changing the molecules in the room. And sometimes that room is 800 seats, and sometimes it's 200 seats, and sometimes it's 60 seats. But it still is immediate. And so, you know, I think we all come from the theater, so we know what it is. Some actors have never done theater, so they've not experienced that, so they don't long for that. But when you've started in theater, you know, it's like a professional hockey player remembering his junior days, maybe, or his days when he played on the pond and it was just pure hockey, and he just remembered how great it was, and now it's all politics and business. He loves it still, but it's, you know, the stakes are really high, and it's all, you know, maybe that's a metaphor, I'm not sure.
So you're talking to someone who's not an actor, but who watches film and television and goes to the theater. What is it like for you when you're doing a show like this and the character that you're playing and learning the character? Because I'm assuming in film and television, you've already done that work before you get on the set. So when you're on stage night after night, are you learning things about the character that you are learning constantly throughout the run?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's the beauty, right? Because when you do film, you put some takes down, and you're like, okay, and what if I had to do it 10 more times, it'd be a lot better, but, you know, you can't do it 10 more times. You've got to move on to the next 3 scenes. And in theater, without a doubt, any actor will tell you, most actors, I believe, will tell you that you can do a 6-week run, an 8-week run. I mean, I did an 18-week run once in L.A. When it's over, you say to yourself, oh boy, if I could start today, if I could just start today, because it's about really not thinking up there, you know, because when you first start a show, you know, you're thinking about the lines, and you're thinking about the blocking, and you're thinking, and it takes a while to get it into your body, and to get it into your, you know, because you're on stage for 90 minutes straight sometimes, you know, and so you're constantly learning, you're constantly growing, evolving. For sure, the rehearsal period is delightful, because in film sometimes you get booked on Monday and you start shooting Thursday and you have a wife and 2 kids and you're a serial killer. Go. And, you know, and so you do as much research as possible, but that's a skill. But with theater, you know, we've been carrying this play around, my character has been sober for 15 years, so I decided I'm lucky. I don't have a drug or alcohol problem, but mm-hmm. I did go sober to explore what it was like to be out socially with friends and not be the one drinking, or you're allowed to receive information and develop in your character through osmosis, which for an actor I think is a gift. And so there's that too, right? To yeah. start to learn about him, and whether it's clothes or preferences and so on and so forth.
So you've learned a lot going back to the theater in terms of founding this company and putting on a show. I'm sure you've learned a great deal in that process of how theater works in this town and producing and the sort. From what I've heard, you've learned a thing or two about casting.
Yeah. You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah. So just before the holidays, I guess there was a little bit of there were letters circulated, I guess, amongst the folks in this town about the casting of this production. So where are we now, this first week of January, in terms of the concerns
there's been some unfortunate things that have happened, to be quite honest. And, I think ultimately there's been a lot of misrepresentation when it's come, and that letter was unfortunate because that letter did not have all the facts. And we are a community, and we're trying not to be divisive. So, there was a casting process that happened. I believe certain people did not get certain roles. I think, that upset some people. I think people are taking, I don't think they thought we did our due diligence, and it turns out that we did. And I think we were being misrepresented. And we also made some mistakes along the way probably as well in communicating and possibly... things were missed here and there. My understanding is that there's going to be forums that the Fire Hall will probably hold regarding diversity in theater. And who has the right to tell whose story? Do you have to be Italian to play an Italian? Do you have to be Puerto Rican to play a Puerto Rican? If a Puerto Rican plays an Italian, is the Italian community going to get upset? And if an Italian plays a Puerto Rican, is the Puerto Rican or Latin community going to be upset? Like, where is this line being drawn now? Because as an actor, it was always my understanding, and I understand there are new times happening, but as an actor, range was a real badge of honor. And sometimes being ambiguously sort of like color or like a race in the sense of, oh, that guy could be Italian or Portuguese or Greek or Middle Eastern or Jewish, that was a bonus for an actor, because if you could just play the actual nationality you were, you wouldn't be able to really make a living. And as you can see, that doesn't really happen, and that's not. But, there's also some real travesties that do happen in casting sometimes where people are really miscasting a play. And so it's very, you got to be careful. You can't lump it all into one problem. And so we've had some meetings, and we've had to talk it out a bit, and I think there's going to be more talk, and I'm all for it, because as a producer and as a actor, I want to know. Like my buddy and one of the castmates, Francisco Trujillo, who's a Chilean, the quote unquote Latin, I guess he's in the play, and he played an Italian, a Mambo Italiano, at the Fire Hall. And he did that years ago. Is it mean today that now I the Italian community would be upset at that? I don't know. Like, where does it lie? Where does the director get to make a choice? Who's right is it to tell the story? So I think those are all questions that need to be discussed in a very civil way. I don't think letters with facts that are not correct or people getting all wound up is a way to do it, because every one of us in this cast have been contributing to this community in many different ways. We're not outsiders. So, I think it got a little hot there for a minute, and I think it may still get hot maybe if we get into a room, but I think if we get into a room and we're all respectful, I think we're going to learn something about where theater and representation is headed. And I certainly would like to know what some of those answers are, because as I move forward and produce film or TV, I need to know that if I cast someone who's Jewish and he plays a role that is an Italian, or if I've cast someone who's not Latin for like but looks Latin, you know, I mean, whatever. Is that now what's on the table? Is that what's happening? So, you know, it's I need to know for myself too when I go to casting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not a white guy. I'm a white guy in the world, I guess, on a census, but when I go to a casting, if they're looking for a white guy, they're not casting me. I'm the ethnic guy in the room. So where does a guy like me fit then? If I'm white in the world but not white in casting, then am I not allowed to play whatever my look supports? Interesting questions, right?
Yeah, you know, and it goes to the point that we have such a unique and rich theatrical community in this town that, you know, the passions can be stirred on an issue like this, and rightfully so. I mean, these are discussions that we ought to have. In theater, but in culture and in politics and the sort. But would you talk about just how important it is for you as a performer, as an actor, to stay in this town and to continue to work in your craft at home?
Well, yeah, I made a decision, you know, 12 years ago. I moved back from L.A. I lived in L.A. for 12 years, actually. And, you know, I came back to do a TV series called Robson Arms, and the time I was having my first child, and then, you know, I ended up doing Da Vinci's Inquest and then Intelligence. So it was about 4 or 5 years in a row that I was doing TV series, and I was back in Canada, and I remember saying to myself, well, maybe this is a sign, like maybe it's time to now come back, and meaning to come back and make something of my life here, not just be this guy waiting by the phone to get a call for an audition and go get a part or to go get offered a part, but to contribute, you know, and contributing, what I mean by contributing is, you know, I'm a co-artistic director of the Railtown Actors Studio, as you mentioned, which is me training a younger generation of actors, which means, you know, producing films, which I've done, which means creating TV shows, which I'm doing, which means, you know, like really wanting to be involved, because it does mean a lot to me. I don't want to move back to the States. Mm-hmm. Like I want to be in Vancouver. I want to be in Canada. I feel I'm from Toronto originally, but Vancouver is my adult home when it comes to Canada. Like, I can't imagine living anywhere else anymore. My kids are growing up here. They were both born here. I feel that we have a really incredible, supportive community. I mean, it's why that letter, to be quite honest, was so hurtful, because it was not vetted correctly, and it was released, and it was just misrepresentative, and it was inflammatory, and so it was hurtful to us, you know. But I understand people got, you know, upset because they were thinking they one thing was something when it wasn't really. But not to digress to the letter. But so yeah, it's important to me. It's important to me to do good theater here. It's important to me to watch good theater, support good theater, because this is it, man. This is where I'm going to be, and this is where everybody in our theater company is going to be. We're not going anywhere. We've all been around over 20 years and then some in this business. We've done it all. We've all worked in the States. We've all had that little glint of excitement and fame and like been in big movies and done all these things. But now we're at that place where this is a career and this is what we do, and it's important for us to do it with who we want to do it with and where.
So I went to your website, and I noticed that the updates on the website have ceased from 2013 onward. So I'm assuming, for you, it's been in quite a busy 2.5 years or so.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't usually take care of those updates. I should get someone to update that, hey?
but I'm just assuming, though, that it has been busy. You know, I mean, you have worked a great deal in film and television, and you've been able to do that in this town, right?
Yeah. No, it's been busy. It's been good. I mean, you know, I just finished doing Blackstone, the last season of Blackstone, and, you know, been producing as well and creating, developing a TV show with a writing partner back east. And, yeah, you know, so it's been a busy time. It's just, I guess the website is shows maybe I've been busy that no one can update it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you today, John, and break a leg, as they say. We've met once, actually.
Yeah, you sound familiar.
Well, you yelled at me once on Granville Street.
What'd I say?
I remember this because I remember because I was I guess I'd walked in the wrong lineup waiting for something, and you were already
You walked in the wrong lineup waiting for something. What was it? Vancouver Film Festival?
No, it was the Stanley, and the only reason I remember this is because I loved Robs in Arms, and then I realized that the guy yelling at me was the landlord.
Well, what did I say? Was I mean? I'm sorry.
No, you were just telling me to get in the right lineup, which is you know, naturally. But I mean, I only remember that because, you know, you were the guy from Robs in Arms. So,
I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but you probably deserved it.
I probably did. Yeah.
So I'll leave it at that. But I really appreciate your support in the interview and. I don't know what was going on that day at the Stanley, but maybe my Italian. Sometimes people think I'm like, I grew up in a family where my mother would be like, "Pass it out."
Yeah.
Like everything was at that level. So sometimes I got to adjust that for the West Coast still.
But it's given me a great story over the years. So
has it really?
Yeah.
you got yelled at by Yuri, and now you just interviewed him.
Yeah. Thanks for this, John.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Take care.
The Motherfucker with a Hat is at the Fire Hall Art Center the 16th to the 30th of January. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information. John Cassini joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.